heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Well, the day will come when men will recognize woman as his peer, not only at the fireside, but in councils of the nation. Then, and not until then, there will be the perfect comradeship, the ideal union between the sexes that shall result in the highest development of the race. That, my friends, is a quote. And that is from Susan B. Anthony. That is powerful, I have to tell you. To think how visionary some people are and how some women were, but that's putting it out there, quite frankly. But today we're going to have a conversation with three extraordinary women in a segment I'm calling Strong Women at the Forefront. And so you hear that quote, and let's get this thing rolling here. And Arnetta, when you hear those words from Susan B. Anthony and the fact that she says, you know, well, someday, then and not until then, will there be a perfect comradeship, the ideal union, she references, between the sexes that shall result in the highest development of the race. And I like the way she referenced also councils of the nation. What comes to your mind at that point?
She was so far ahead of her time, and how close we did come to that period of time. And then that period of time was turned against that particular thought and is now being used against us. The thought, the unifying principle of motherhood and home and family has turned into an obnoxious propaganda agenda towards those particular thoughts and the honoring of a true partnership and women's role in that partnership.
Wow. That's a left turn or a U-turn in there somewhere that changed what this vision was. Debbie, what do you take from that Susan Anthony quote?
Well, she was a woman ahead of her time, as were other women that really tried to push against the gender gap. When you think about the suffragettes were conservative. They were Republicans. They were part of the Grand Old Party. And they fought hard to have equal rights in voting and position, holding offices in the United States. And they joined forces with the suffragettes in the UK as well, in England, in that movement, in that process. But they were still mothers, wives, homemakers, but they wanted the right to vote and they wanted the right to hold offices. You know what's interesting is that it was the Democrats who fought against that idea of women being equal when it comes to voting rights and holding offices and careers and jobs. And they fought that for a long time. Somewhere along the line in the 60s, that narrative flipped. Or as I like to say, was hijacked by the Democratic Party. They gave up that notion that, you know, the Democrats were in the South at the time, that women shouldn't have position, power, leadership, or the right to vote.
So it's interesting, like you say, how are they always successful at that? We got to hopefully come back to that point, because that's something I question all the time. Why are they always seeing things that the right are not seeing? And whatever the reason is, they seem to be a step ahead in a lot of these areas. It's odd that way. Linda, when we say, again, the first part of that quote, the day will come when men will recognize woman as his peer, not only at the fireside, but in councils of the nation. That is strong, obviously, because it says a lot. Now, you are in a unique relationship because you and your husband, I mean, have that equality in your marriage and in your life with Dr. Ron Martinelli. But yet, that's not the way a lot of people have it across. I mean, that's not as normal, I think, as maybe it could be or should be. But do you think women's that they have that equality at both the fireside and at the councils of the nation?
I think that we are coming to that point. You look at somebody like Nikki Haley, as far as at the councils of the nation, when you talk about strong and powerful women that have a say. But, you know, you bring up my relationship with my husband, Malcolm. That's a choice that women make. And that's a choice that I made, that I was going to choose somebody that would give me the respect that I deserve, and that I would give him the respect that he deserves. We still have a lot of women that don't make those choices. And why they don't, I think, is a bigger discussion. I think that women absolutely are equal, can be equal. And I think it's a choice. A lot of that is a choice. And when we keep wanting to say that somebody else is not giving that to them, I think that's a little bit of a cop-out, because it's not something that people give you. It's something that you take, that you earn, that you demand. And I think we have to go all the way back to parenting. We have to go all the way back to our educational system, which, to Debbie's point, is really run by a lot of liberal teachers, and they don't teach the things that she was talking about in history that give us the credibility as Republicans, that say what we did in history and what we didn't do. So the problem is that this generation doesn't know the history, doesn't know that we were the ones that were for women voting, for blacks voting, all those types of things. We need to get the word out big time. But as far as being equal, I think we're there. I just think that it's something that we need to stand up and demand. And it doesn't matter if you want to be in the work world or you want to be a parent at home. It's people, all people in all roles. And this is a big, big subject to me, Malcolm, should be equal under other people's eyes, under the law, under the due process system. We should all be equal, and nobody should be more equal, and nobody should be less equal.
That's right. Our Constitution actually states that, doesn't it? You know, that we are all
yes.
equal.
Yeah.
And Linda, I think your point is absolutely correct, that when it comes to women, we get to make that choice. What's interesting is that the Democrats like to pigeonhole us, and we need to stand up and say, no, we can be a mother, we can be a wife, we can have a career, we get to choose what we want to do.
And I think, Linda, to speak to that point, you know, I came from a family of very strong women, and I fought my way through the financial industry and was partners with my husband in a business. And those were my choices. That was what I learned through my life. And unfortunately, because of society today and whatever this propaganda agenda is against men, toxic masculinity, and, you know, the feminism and what's on campus, and our children are being brainwashed where, you know, the world is going to come to an end if we continue with climate change. And the propaganda of this agenda appeals to that compassion to women. And the women you are, there are a lot of single parents out there that are women and their children. And unfortunately, that compassion and the propaganda that they're hit with letting your child, you know, your child be sensitive and picking them up and not letting them skin their knee, it's out there and it's prevalent. And you're right. Whereas before, the women were the ones that you went to church, you were the leader in the community, you were the strong voice for the family. We've lost a good bit of that voice, not by choice, but because of the ability to get that voice back out there in this country. Because how do we get that out there if our schools are run by these very liberal-minded, safe spaces. You know, women are, you can't be strong. The men can be wusses, as you said. Where do we have, as strong women, that ability now to get that message out?
I mean, you all laid it out there perfectly. And I love the way also that, Linda, you put it out there and said it's self-responsibility. It's a great reminder that you just gave all women, and all men for that matter, too. I just love that. Self-responsibility, personal responsibility. In other words, make your decisions or you are going to succumb to the life that people are going to pick for you if you don't choose your own life or pick it out. And this is a problem. And it's a great reminder, Linda, quite frankly, to every single one of us. Quite honest, every human being could take a page out of what you just said there. Well, listen, as we now talk about these things about strong women and their role in society here, interesting the way the political sides have played this, both the Democrats and the Republicans, and their approach to women. As Debbie had put out there moments ago, their approach to, you know, the way the Democrats had changed a lot of the rules back in the 60s and 70s and changed positions on things. And they seemed to have the vision and the foresight to see things that maybe others did not see. But it's interesting today when we look at where these two political parties are and how that's impacting women, because quite frankly, right now, families are not talking. Friends are not talking. People, there's a, I mean, you know, we're not going to sugarcoat anything here, but people, there's a lot of unrest out there. There's a divisiveness within the cultural conversation that is breaking it down. And it's really coming from our political circles. Of course, our leaders are not setting good examples here at all. So again, let me also do a formal introduction and tell you who's on the program here. So you all know here that you hear the voices of Linda Martinelli. Linda is an entrepreneur. She's a business executive. And the other thing I have to tell you, she's a bull rider enthusiast. So she'll tell you more about that later, and a show host. So she definitely qualifies as a passionate, strong woman. Debbie Aldridge is here, as you hear Debbie. She's a field journalist. She's a broadcaster. She has a great YouTube channel, does shows over the air. She's a foreign policy analyst. And then, of course, our esteemed producer, and Arnetta Nockent, financier, 30 years on Wall Street there. And now she's a strong voice and producer and commentator here at America Out Loud, as well as Linda is a columnist and a show host. And again, we have just a fantastic team of people on the platform, without a doubt here. So again, this is going to be, we're going to open this right up again, as you can hear some of the conversation in the first segment. I've got a bit of a quandary to throw at the women, and I'll do that, friends, in just a moment.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. The world of Margaret Thatcher, Ronald Reagan, and, you know, that whole era back then with Gal Gorbachev, they changed the world, in fact. Again, we talk about strong women. Thatcher was one of the people who totally, completely changed the world as a partnership and union. Her and Reagan had one of the most unique, you talk about a man and woman partnership. They had a dynamic partnership. It's one we need to match time and time again, because that was a relationship, people, by the time that was ahead of its time. Think about that. I'm talking about, you know, a real man, a real woman at the forefront of world policy. They were ahead of their time. When you think of what they did and how they did it, truly amazing. Well, Margaret Thatcher says, and I want to read you her words here, her quote here. Any woman who understands the problems of running a home will be nearer to understanding the problems of running a country. Now, let me tell you, Thatcher said a lot of cool stuff. And that was one of them right there. But and she knew from her personal experience what that meant, and really how that could impact society. So I want to dive into now this gender gap a little bit with you women here. And I want to talk about something specifically from a Pew Research Center. And let me give you a couple of stats here, because I'm hoping you ladies can explain to me and listeners here what to me is almost unexplainable to me sometimes, why the Democrats attract more women. And so I'd like somebody to explain this to me, because I don't get it. So let me tell you some numbers first here. So women have been are more likely, rather, than men to identify as Democrats. That's been going on for decades. Clearly, they attract more of the women vote. The Republicans have not. And so today, rough numbers here with Pew, 56% of women consider themselves Democrats or lean Democratic for sure. And where the same is only true for 44% of men, by the way. So you see right there, 44, 56. So women predominantly go Democrat there. Meanwhile, 37% of women and 48% of men affiliate with or lean toward the GOP. So there's a disparity right there off the bat. Okay, Debbie, I want to get your insights on what I just put out there. Why are more women attracted to the Democrat Party versus the Republican Party, number one? And number two, is Trump helping or hurting that situation right now with women?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that question, because I asked that question. I interviewed Matt Schlapp, with the head of the Conservative Political Action Committee, mm-hmm. 2 years ago when I interviewed him in his office. And I said, why don't we have more women in our political process as leaders and things like that? So I will get to your two questions. But this is one of the things that he said. We have been more conservative throughout our history in the Republican Party, and more faith-based. So many of the women in our party have chosen over the years to be homemakers first, mothers first, and then later in life get into politics.
Right.
But we've seen a change in that. And often a lot of women have been busy with homemaking and stuff, and frankly, you know, maybe don't get out and vote. But we're seeing a change. And that change is in this last cycle of elections, and I was one of them, we saw a lot of Republican women running for political offices, whether Congress, the Senate, you know, city council, things like that. One of the reasons why we didn't see a lot of those women win is because in the last election, we had Nancy Pelosi, who raised over a weekend like $85 million to put towards those elections against the Republican women, because her narrative was the Republicans are a party of old white men. Mm-hmm. Now, the Democrats have done a great job, and I don't call it, why are they coming up with better ideas? No, I call it, they've hijacked our ideas. They've hijacked our platform that we had for years. We just didn't take it back, but we're taking it back now. So, you know,
Can I quote you on that, Debbie?
Yes, please do. Please do. Yeah, we're taking it back. And we are seeing more women now get into the political game, because after the last 8 years under the Democrats, and then you go back to the Clintons, we've seen, you know, the misogyny. If they want to talk about misogyny, there was a lot of misogyny going on in Bill Clinton's era. And Obama was a bit of a hypocrite, frankly. He played it both ways. You know, he would say one thing and do another. And I think because the direction our country was going, a lot of women stepped up and said, I don't want this for my children's future. And I'm getting in the game. I don't want this for our future. I don't want this for America. And it's interesting, because when you go back to our founders, you go back to the pioneer women, they were out there, you know, shooting guns and they were hunting, and they were working in the fields. They were doing everything, because they didn't have a government program to give them assistance, whether they lost their husband or not. And a lot of women after the Civil War were left without a husband or sons to help them. So women have been very strong throughout our history. for some reason, it just, that story just hasn't been told.
Well, Debbie, there are, we both had different skill sets. I mean, you know, Debbie, taking what you just say, if you bring it back to, you know, the Little House on the Prairie days, that's a reference point in my brain I always use, Debbie. I don't know why, you know. It's like, you know, where the guys, they were out, right, getting dinner, killing it, doing the whole bit there, and the women were home. They were not working with careers. I mean, right? I mean, that was... It
wasn't
that.
There were a lot of women that went out hunting and they were in their fields while the husband was.
Well, they didn't show them on television series and
no,
shows.
They didn't.
I'll tell you that much. So, probably you're right, but they didn't. Now, listen, Linda, if you were back in that era, if you were born and in that era, Linda, that we're talking about right now, you would have been one out there hunting, wouldn't you have been, Linda?
I might have been. I definitely would have been shooting a gun. Malcolm, I want to go back to what you said, because you said something really interesting about Margaret Thatcher, who I also love and admire, and what she said about running a home and then running a country.
Right.
But you know what else is true? Is if you run a business, you will be able to run the country better, because you will understand much more about how things run and how the finances work. And I see way too many people in politics that don't understand that. As far as women, I think that what I see in people that I talk to is a lot of women are tuning out right now, and they tune out because of the anger. And women tend to don't like the anger. They don't like the hate speech. And there's so much of that going on. When you think of the difference between Margaret Thatcher and her studied response to things, and then Hillary Clinton and her angry speech, I'm so repulsed by Hillary Clinton. And why a lot of women voted for her, I honestly don't understand. I would not vote for a woman just because she's a woman. And why they're on the Democratic side, I'm not sure. But I don't think that the hate speech that's coming out now is going to be helping women. And I think that there's a very good opportunity for conservative women to get a more common study.
So, Linda, is Trump right now turning women off? Yes or no?
Is Trump? You know, I honestly don't know. I like Trump. And I think if women pay attention to not what the media says about Trump, because that's what's happening,
right,
but to the fact that Trump actually does respect women, that he actually has more women in powerful positions than any other president in recent history, that he puts a Nikki Haley and lots of people in great positions.
Yeah, but it's not about putting them
power
in positions.
He's
or not putting them in positions, Linda. It's about what I'm saying is, you just said that women normally don't like the sharpness, the divisiveness, the fighting, the hatred, the whatever. Now, let's face it, President Trump he's a fighter. He'll knock you on your ass, whether you're man, woman, black, white, yellow, green, it doesn't matter. My point is that turning women off?
I think some of that. Well, that rhetoric of his does turn some of the women off, and it's unfortunate. And I usually say is, you don't have to like what he says,
right,
but look at what he's doing. And what he's doing is for the future of our country, which is the future of your children.
Well, Debbie, that's the answer, but the media is not giving that answer out there.
Well, that's the problem.
Well, yeah, of course it is, because they own everything and they're running everything. But
Malcolm, it goes back to my question is, how do we get that message out there? Because Trump is absolutely fighting for the things that women cherish the most, and that is safety and freedom, but mainly safety to their family. And without the safety, everything else is moot.
Okay.
But how do we get that message out there?
Arnetta, I asked, as you know, a lady, a strong woman, just this past week, if President Trump was racist or not. I mean, and this was a little bit left of the aisle, moderate. And she said, racist, I'm not sure he is or isn't racist, but he's ignorant. And I talked about this on the show the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said to the lady, define ignorant. And she said, well, he doesn't know to control his mouth. And that's what they said. And that's a lack of leadership. He doesn't show the leadership because he's too divisive. Now, Linda Martinelli says, hey, you know, women don't like divisiveness, hatred, fight. So my question is, I mean, I ask you all to be real here. What's the woman vote going to look like in 2020 if the divisiveness is on like it is and continuing? I mean, what does that look like, Arnetta? What happens? What happens next?
Women have been on the left, the Democrats. They have embraced this virtual signaling. And that is meant to and designed for agitation and to frighten us. The conservative women who understand that, they step back. The liberal women who now feel they have a cause because they've been told they have a cause that Trump hates women, Trump is a racist, Trump does this. Conservatives will destroy you. Conservatives will put down blacks and gays and this whole litany of what they are throwing at these people that are marching. And yes, you know, it makes me uncomfortable to see these marches, but I have to give them kudos. They know how to organize. They know how to get their message out there.
You're talking about the left, Arnetta? You're talking about the left?
That's correct.
Okay.
The women's marches, the pink hat
marches. And we don't do that. And someone on a show the other day said, it's time for us to use unconventional means. We need to step out of that box of being goody-goody two-shoes, or everything will work out in the long run. Or,
so, Arnetta, then is that, so now let's pick up what you say there, please. So is that the reason, do you think, what you just put out there is pretty compelling, actually. Is that the reason you think that more women, are they better market? I guess I'm asking, are they better marketers? Because I asked the question, why are more women attracted to the Democratic Party versus the other? And what you're saying, is that the answer? Is that the reason, you think?
Yeah, well, it's their masters are better marketers. And they've had 60 years to come up with a long plan, strategic plan.
Okay.
And their messaging and their propaganda is loud and clear.
Mm-hmm.
And the women buy into it. It truly is this virtual signaling that the conservatives are evil people and we're going to destroy the country. When in fact, that's what the others are doing. And we are not out there. We are not confronting them. They're in our face. Their arrogance alone scares me to death.
It's not in our DNA as conservatives to be
right.
so boisterous, to be so loud and obnoxious. And but, you know,
interesting.
Talking about your, Malcolm, what you said about are women turned off by Trump and some of the things he says or whatever.
Right.
Well, what about Kavanaugh? Kavanaugh was an upstanding man.
Right.
He had a great career with a lot of women working, you know, in his practice over the years, and he taught. And yet, the women came out to protest and bang on doors and scream and shout and make all these false accusations. So part of the problem is the left doesn't have any qualms about creating false narratives and fake accusations. They, and for some reason, as Arnetta said, the left, the women in the left, they have more meetings, more organized marches, more this, that, and the other, which, and they kind of get these women stirred up, and the mainstream media has fed this narrative to the women, you know, because there are very few outlets for people, men and women, to watch. And even the men were joining in on that march after the inauguration. So the goal and the key really is what you're doing, what we're doing, what Linda's doing, what all of us are doing, and as women. And I want to get to one other point, if I may. You know, yes, Margaret Thatcher was an amazing woman. And we've had Golda Meir. We've had many great women lead throughout the country. We have yet to have a woman president, and Hillary Clinton was hoping to break that glass ceiling. And I don't believe it's going to be a Democrat who does that. I believe it will be a woman, and maybe Nikki Haley. But I interviewed a member of the British Parliament, Matthew Oford, and he had said, when are we going to see a female president in the United States? And my answer was, you have to remember, England had they have a female monarchy right now. They've had women in leadership positions as monarchies in the past, Queen Elizabeth, the first and the second, and so has Europe. So has, you know, other.
So why are we behind the times, Debbie?
Because we are still a junior country, and we're still young. We're getting there. But the time is now. the time is now, and it's time for Republicans and conservatives. I mean, the Republican Party is also a bit fractured, to be honest. And we need to really fight to hold our leaders accountable and to make sure we're voting in good leaders to the Republican Party and say, it's time to unite here and really get behind a great woman, great candidates, and let's make it happen.
Well, both parties are fractured. I mean, both have the same problem. Yeah, they both are. I mean, the traditional Democrat Party is gone forever, and the traditional Republican Party is gone forever. The Grand GOP is dead as well. It's now the MAGA movement. Trump has killed that as well. So the traditional Republican and Democrat Party has changed in our lifetime. What they become next or what happens, that's anybody's guess right now, because that's all up in the air right now, especially when you see what's happening on both sides. Linda, when we talk about identity politics, the left, again, is really, really good at marketing and branding. I mean, they kick the right's ass. I mean, let me call it what it is. I know you women don't want really well. I know you, if you want the truth, that's the truth. Okay. And you all have said the same thing. They're better marketers. Now, you say, well, they don't like to be this or that or the other. Well, I'm afraid that your president right now may be turning some of those people off if you're trying to get the people in the middle aisle. And I know conservatives don't want to hear this stuff because Republicans live in a fairy tale land. They're not critical on themselves and they're not critical about their party. They live in a fairy tale land and they get upset when you talk about it. And quite frankly, Linda, a lot of people are eating Trump Wheaties. They just think he is the kid that, like you said, he could go on a Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and everybody would applaud. Well, that's what a lot of Republicans are doing. I think the party needs to embrace conservatism more than whoever the leader is of that party. And I don't see Republicans doing that, Linda. I think if you look at social media today, they have Trump fever. Now, I'm just going to call it what it is. I know a lot of people don't want to hear this because they live in a fairy tale land. But I think they got Trump fever instead of being a conservative and understanding those values. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. And the thing is that we don't have, on the conservative side, we don't have the media. So what we get is what they want to feed us, which is why I love America Out Loud, because they, you know, will tell the truth. But, I don't see in my world, in my opinion, I don't see President Trump being racist. I don't see him being...
He's not. I don't think he's racist for a minute.
He's divisive. He's divisive in the way that he strikes back. But most of what people react to are what are saying that he says, what they're saying that he feels. And that's a lie. And that's the problem, is that we don't have enough avenues to get that word out. And people get frustrated with his tweets. And I used to as well. I don't anymore. Sometimes I'd wish he'd stop. But, you know, I mean, look at the waterfall of mismedia propaganda that's put out there every single day against him. Twitter is his way of at least getting the word out to people. So I don't mind it so much. But this environment that we are in is horrible. And the identity politics
horrible.
Is horrible. And when we talk about women, what really, really makes me angry is with these women that were, say, standing out in front of Mitch McConnell's house saying, stab him in the heart. Those are left-leaning women out there. You do not see conservative women doing that. We don't stand in front of somebody's house. Listen, I thought Obama was one of the worst presidents in the history of this country, but I would no more go out and stand in front
Linda,
of his house and say those types of things.
I think that's the problem. What you just identified, though, with all due respect, is the problem. Everything you just said and you've laid out. So, okay, so the right, the Republican women are taking the high road. Oh, okay, cool. So they don't get on the front lawns and do that. Oh, okay, cool. And they don't get out and protest and march and get into groups and form, you know, action committees. Oh, okay, cool. And so, well, then you want to say, well, then they step and say, well, why are they kicking our ass? I don't understand. Well, I mean, figure it out, people. I mean, you need me to draw you a map or what? I mean, hello.
Malcolm has got out there and walked in a group and marched as conservative women. We would be accosted by left-leaning people, by Antifa, by all kinds of people.
Linda,
there would just be a mess out there.
That's true. I actually was organizing a rally in D.C., and what we did is we hired private security people to protect, because you're right. We would get attacked.
Nothing wrong with that, Arnetta.
I'll be there, Arnetta.
But if we don't step forward We don't have to go to somebody's grass and say, stab them in the heart. No. But if we don't step forward instead of stepping back from this anger, and if we don't address it, we're going to lose.
Yeah.
And Malcolm, I want to address the eating the Trump Wheaties.
And we'll do that right after the pause here.
Okay.
The Trump Wheaties. That's a great segment. Trump Wheaties. Yeah, that could be a brand that sells really well. You know, he did put his name on steaks a while back. You know that. And he had
and
his name
wine.
On. Yeah,
no,
that and
didn't
wine.
Work out too well.
And buildings and golf courses and a smart brander. Now, he's a marketer, I'll tell you. He knows how to market. He's brilliant with marketing. Yeah. And you see, marketing is part and parcel of the problem. The right doesn't really know how to market well. And again, a lot of the marketing companies and the social media companies and the media companies, they're all owned by leftist millionaires. And then the right doesn't have a voice. And then they wonder, well, why don't we have a voice? We're being censorship. We're being shadow banned. We're being ridiculed. Well, because the other side owns everything. You know, I often say, and Arnetta knows this to be true, I always say, take the high road, take the high road. My mission in life is to take the high road. And I tell you guys that all the time out there. But there's a sense of understanding what the facts are and the truth are. And at this point, when you look at everything, everything being equal, I mean, it depends what we call the high road. I guess we have to define that. I mean, I can define it. But can we still get it done and do some of the things the left does and still have some class and style? I guess that's a question we have to put out there and ask ourselves. I would probably say yes to that. Like Arnetta just said, well, we're not going to stab them in the heart to make those kinds of comments or use four-letter words. Well, that's cool. That's fair enough. Okay, we don't have to do that. But you have to be better marketers and branders. And another thing, people, you've got to get some rich right-wing people to buy some of these media outlets and social media outlets and cut the bananas, okay? Because that's another thing. The left are smart. I'll tell you, as Debbie was saying earlier, boy, they changed all the narratives back in the 60s and 70s. And they put it against the Republican Party and really patriots and conservatives, which are Americans, which is American as apple pie. Friends, I think it's time to, you know what, whether we take the high road, the low road, the middle road, the side road, the back road, the front road, or whatever the hell road you want to take, I think it's time to put the gloves on, take the gloves off, or just whatever, get the job done. Because at this point, they're kicking our you-know-what.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
The question I always get asked is, where do I get the energy from? Well, keeping up with Malcolm Out Loud is no easy task, friends, even for Malcolm. Well, you may know that I've personally been taking Healthy Cell for some time now. Well, the great news is Healthy Cell has a new type of natural supplement called the Nutrition Gel. So no more hard-to-swallow pills. The good-tasting gel can be mixed into smoothies, yogurt, or water. These gels provide maximum absorption of essential nutrients, and it's healthy for our gut. Not abrasive like pills can be. You know, it's time for all of us to go pill-free. And you can try it with a free 2-day supply. Just cover $2.95 shipping, and the company, Healthy Cell, will cover the cost of the product. Go to healthycell.com/outloud, or simply click the Healthy Cell logo at the top of AmericaOutloud.com. The question isn't who's going to let me, it's who is going to stop me. Now, you can see Ayn Rand saying that. You know that, ladies, you know? You can see that, you know? I mean, she
That's
was...
That's everybody's motto.
I know. I wish she was still here in our time, ladies, because she was a pistol and a half, you know? As you, when you look back at history at this woman and what she did, it would be kind of cool if she was here. What do you think she would say? Let's do a quick go around, each of us, 30 seconds. What do you think she would say in today's world with Trump up at the helm now, with all this happening? Arnetta, what would she say?
Oh, Lord.
Okay. All right. Say. That's your words. Debbie, go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I think she'd say that Trump personifies that quote.
Yes, absolutely. He does.
Well, listen, I mean, we want the president to succeed, every one of us here. More than anything else, even more than that, ladies, I want America to succeed. And more than that, ladies, I want conservatism to succeed. So my rules here, I put America first, conservatism next, and then Trump after that. You follow me? That's where
absolutely.
I would be in my line.
Yeah,
that's
what when I was running for Congress. I said, God, country, conservatism, Republican, and then I support Trump. But I did get up on the podium and say, I am a Trump supporter because he's the best ticket we have in town.
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah, no, I absolutely support the agenda and what he's doing. But as Linda said a little while ago, Debbie, there are some times he is divisive. And he like what he's doing with Scaramucci right now. I mean, that is just the mooch. They're having a bully yard backyard fight, a playground smash 'em, whack 'em, knock 'em over the head fight out in the public square. And it's nasty. It's ugly. And a lot of people have turned out. And back to Linda Martinelli, your point earlier was, well, women don't like XYZ. Well, let me tell you what, Linda. Right now, Trump and Mooch are giving the country a lot of XYZ. So if that's not what women like, then we're in trouble.
No, I don't like it, and it shouldn't be done in public by either one of them. They're acting like little tiny boys with absolutely
That's exactly it. You know what it is, Linda? Yep. They and I said to Arnetta yesterday, they have a lot of testosterone, and they need to knock it off, okay? Because
we don't need to be involved in it.
That's
just
it. They're having
house.
Yeah, no, it's a complete testosterone fight. You know, that's all it is. It's ego driven.
It's distracting to the business of this country.
100%. 100%. No. Okay, let's get to
Trump. And Trump it doesn't bother me at all.
Me either.
Which part doesn't bother you?
This the good, the bad, and the ugly of what's going on with he and Scaramucci. And I'll tell you why it doesn't bother me. Because it's staged. It's another distraction away from what he's doing. You have to have the ability to look behind the curtain and through the smoke and the mirrors of what the left is throwing out there.
Oh, hold on.
And
this ain't the left. Who's distracting? Yeah. Hold on a minute. Hold on. Whose distraction is this?
This started, it's got everybody focused now. The Republicans, the conservative, everybody is now following this fight. Why? Who cares?
Well, because I tell you why. Because President Trump tweeted it out, Arnetta.
Who cares?
Well, but the nation cares.
What has that got to do with
anything? Mainstream
media
cares.
They don't.
That's
exactly right.
Put Scaramucci on the tube and got Scaramucci to say.
That's right. Look at the show.
Got an ego, and they baited Trump, and Trump fell for it. Unfortunately,
yeah.
But, you know, it is a distraction. Like, you know, Arnetta said. We need to look past that as conservatives, as people who are fighting for our country. And if you're fighting for your country, to restore our country, to gain back what we have lost over the last 10 years, then you've got to look past that. And that's just the way it's going to be.
In all these distractions that we get, you know, 3 days from now, you could get some big announcement that Trump's you know, made an agreement with China or South Korea or North Korea or something like that. He just keeps moving forward. These are little bitty distractions that are around, but he doesn't take his eye off the ball. And that's
but here's the problem, ladies. None of you are admitting. I hear, but let me slow the train down slightly because we're not answering the problem because we're talking riddles a little bit here on both sides of the equation. And Linda, with what you put out there, if everybody, how do we attract more women? I said, how does the Republican Party attract more women? That's the quandary I put out there with you all. I mean, that was one of the things I was hoping we might solve on the program even today, potentially. And you've made it clear women don't like X, Y, and Z. And that's very clear. And I think all of you, everybody agrees with that. And even though you may not have a problem, Arnetta, there are a lot of women who do have a problem. And the point is, if we need to attract them in to vote conservative or vote, how are we doing that job? And then when you say it doesn't matter, but it does matter, ladies. Stop saying it doesn't matter because it's not true. It matters.
That's
if we're trying to attract women, it matters. How can you say it doesn't matter?
Well, I would like to see women, a strong woman like a Nikki Haley or any of the strong women. There are strong women in the Senate, strong women in the Congress that will get up and speak more to women. We have the Democratic women are out there every day. They're on social media. They're making a lot of noise. They're getting a lot of attention. They're getting a lot of media. I'd like to see some of our strong women on the conservative side do the same thing and speak to the women of America and why President Trump is better for them and why their paychecks went up and why their families are important and why their religious rights are important and all those types of things. That's what I would like to see.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You're not going to see it because the mainstream media
owns
the airways. We have women out there saying those things. And frankly, I'm not necessarily, I agree with all the polls out there. I go to so many functions around this country, to DC and Florida. I've been to so many, and in California, Southern California as well. I have traveled this country, and there are a lot of women out there, and they support Trump, and they don't get caught up in these weeds.
We agree.
I know, Malcolm.
Absolutely.
It matters. It does, but not on the large scale. I believe our women, conservative women, are brighter than that, are stronger than that, and they can see through the weeds, and they will turn out. If you go to, during the campaign, I hit the campaign trail myself, and I went to 7 of Trump's rallies around the country.
Yeah.
And I saw, and I bonded
with
women, and I saw so many women there. The thing is, women are tired of what happened. It's just the left are louder and the left owns the airwaves. And so they're able to convince women that aren't, you know, are kind of fence sitters. And it's the fence sitters that
Debbie,
we need to grab.
What you say is accurate and this is correct. And they do go off and he attracts people like there's no tomorrow. And there are a lot of women for Trump, 100,000,000%. Yes, but Debbie, the facts are that 56% of the women consider themselves Democratic and lean that side, and only 37% are on the Republican side. So you can sugarcoat it all day long and say you're traveling the country and what have you, but it doesn't change what I just told you, Debbie.
And but we don't have a way to change it.
All those statistics 100% because of what I've seen, and that's why I hit the campaign trail, because they came out with those kind of statistics when he was running, and I told my husband, I need to go see for myself.
Yeah, I'm not talking about polls here either, though. We're talking about a general rule of thumb about women who, because one of the quandaries is women support the Democrat Party versus the Republican Party. Listen, Debbie, for the record, ladies, no polls should be believed anywhere. I'm not talking about a poll here. I'm talking about historical data here is what I'm speaking about.
Pre-Trump or past Trump. Is that what you're talking about in general?
The Democrat Party and the Republican Party. We're talking about the party, ladies. We're talking going back 30, 40, 50 years. The Democrat Party attracts more women. The Republican Party attracts less. That is one of the things I threw at you today to see, well, why is that? And some of you said, well, women don't like a lot of X, Y, and Z. And I use X, Y, and Z to be quick to the point. They don't like the hatred, the vitriol, the name calling.
That's present day. But that's present day. That's not in the past.
Whatever. Now I'm talking about Trump specifically. Yeah. So now if we're in present day today, how do we get more women to support the Republican Party? That's the question. And nobody has an answer here. The only answer you're saying is you're traveling the country and doing this and that, and women do support them. But that's a cop-out. That's not what we're talking about here. The answer is, how do we get more women to look? I mean, and then, you know, see, this is the thing. We've identified pretty well here on the program. The Democrats are better marketers. They're better branders. They're better with getting the message out there. They own the units to do that. They flip the agenda better to do that. Ladies, do the math. And I mean, and then Arnetta, when we talk and we say, well, why are they hurting? Or why don't more people see the light? Because, I mean, nobody's admitting what I'm saying here. Nobody's really admitting the truth.
Like, I actually addressed that when I told you I interviewed Matt Schlapp 2 years ago about this very question. Okay. And I told you why. But I think we are moving into a new paradigm here.
And I agree with that. And I also feel that we as women, the left appeals to the compassion with their virtual signaling, and the very nurturing aspect of a woman's soul, the compassion, the caregiver, they appeal to that. Well, if we don't get the message out, we being the constitutional conservatives or centrist or whatever you want to call us, doesn't have to be Republican. Mm-hmm. If we don't get the message out and tell people, and particularly women, how bad things are going to be and where this country is headed, then we are going to fail at the job of saving this country. Because if there's more women voters than men, now I think a lot more men came out in favor of Trump, but we are not telling the truth about the agenda of what is up for this country. and what Trump is against. And if we don't win the 2020 election within 10 years, there will be two classes in this country, the elites and the workers. There won't be a stock market. There won't be a bank. We won't be able to hold property. The America that we know right now will not exist. And so we've got to stop being the goody two-shoes and get the message out.
There it is, right there, Arnetta. There it is. Now, what you just said, the goody two-shoe there, we talk about high road and low road. Now, you just said it, because if you stay by the sidelines and always doing, you know, the prim and proper thing, chances are you're going to lose.
That's exactly right. And that's one of the reasons that what Trump says doesn't bother me.
I made my point, Your Honor. I made my point. So, well, it may not bother you, but have the respect, at least, Arnetta, to realize that it may be bothering, and what we've identified here, millions of other women, Arnetta. So you may be an exception to that, but he's already got your vote. But let's talk about all the women that they don't have the vote for, yeah?
That's true. And we need to get the message out to look behind the curtain through the smoke and mirror and identify the puppet masters that are controlling and manipulating everybody in this country.
Well, that's all the media, it's all the social media, and it's all the Democratic operatives.
It's women's groups too.
They do a better job. They're doing a better job.
They do. There's a national organization. You don't have to be a Republican to join it. It's called the Federation of Republican Women. You know, go join an organization. Go out there. Go get active in your community. Start in your own neighborhood.
You know, it's so true, ladies, that, you know, somebody mentioned, I think it was you, Debbie, about being on the front lawn of Mitch McConnell here, who all of a sudden has become a Republican hero. Republicans couldn't stand him 2 years ago. All of a sudden, he's a Republican hero. So you talk about thin skin and all of that business. But imagine if Republicans were on the front lawn of Nancy Pelosi. Hey, you bitch, we're going to stab you in the heart. Get out here. I mean, NBC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, Washington, they'd all been all over that story, Debbie. Then there'd be no tomorrow, wouldn't there be?
Absolutely. And you just hit the nail on the head, is that they control the narrative and they control the media. And the only outlet that we have right now is, you know, social media, platforms like yours, platforms like
America
mine.
Out Loud.
Exactly.
Alternative sources.
Getting the message out and having powerful and strong women. And I've seen a lot of strong women come out. And what you said is also correct. We have been kind of complacent over the years, over the various 100%. Elections.
100%.
We've been complacent. I think this era that we're in is a different paradigm, where now women are seeing, conservative women, that it's time to fight. But we can fight without the hate speech, without the vitriol of the left. But we have to come out with a loud, strong voice.
Well said, Debbie. Now, everything you just said now, I'm totally in agreement with, Debbie. So in other words, let's take the fight. Let's do what's got to be done. But let's also do it with a little bit of class and style. So, Linda, we don't have to say we're going to stab you in the heart and kill you. Is that okay?
That's okay. we just want to get out there and tell them what it would be like under this type of a new paradigm with the progressives if we vote that way. I mean, our law enforcement is already in trouble, which just creates more dangerous situations for our families. We have the drugs pouring over the borders, more dangerous situations for our families. Women are very family-oriented. We need to have them understand what the big picture is for them, one way against the other. And you know, I mean, these three ladies on this program we're doing our part as best we can with the articles and with the radio shows and trying to get the word out. But you're absolutely right. We need to do more. We all need to do more, because there's so many people that aren't getting the word and people are tuned out. And I've talked to so many women that are tuning out because of the vitriol. We need to get their minds open up a little bit and be able to have them hear us. And that's a big question, Malcolm. How do we do that? We ought to have a Talking While Married roadshow, going out and speaking to people during this election cycle.
Well, roadshows can be very effective.
Talking While Married, sorry. I gave myself a plug. Talking While Married and America Out Loud, you know, we have so many talented women that are well spoken on America Out Loud. Obviously, I'm not one of them, but
you are indeed one of them, young lady.
Yes, you are, Linda. You started this whole thing. You started this whole Voice of a Nation because in a tweet, you and I started talking about we needed a movement. Mm-hmm. And Malcolm stepped
up. We need a movement. And
that's Voice of a Nation.
Yes, Malcolm always
steps up. And we need rally. That's a great idea. Take it on the road. We need to take it on the road. We need rallies in our communities, and we can't let the Antifa thugs intimidate us. We can hire security people. I did it. So we need to, now we've spoken up, we need to take action.
Yeah, action.
Now, here's the good news, I think, is that especially since the squad was elected, I think they're doing themselves a disfavor and they're actually helping us. I think when people see, which the mainstream media can't hide from all of it, see the vitriol, see the fake staging at the border, see, you know, the relentless attacks, I think they're actually going to hurt themselves. It'll be really interesting what happens in this next election cycle, but we have to still be vigilant and, you know, push through and get those voices out. And I love the roadshow idea.
Amen. Amen to that. Well, you're listening there to the voices of Debbie Aldrich, Linda Martinelli, and Arnetta Notkin. Wow. Wow. What a program. I knew that we would, we'd hit the ball out of the park, I think, today. This was a great conversation with three extraordinary, extraordinary women. It does start here, people. It starts with all of us. Coming into today, I wanted to do something to impact and to, you know, sometimes we have to ruffle our feathers. I think you know me enough by now that I like to look at all sides of the coin and I like to ruffle the feathers, rock the canoe, maybe is a good way to say it there, rock the canoe a little bit. In other words, to get the action, sometimes we have to, maybe we have to piss in your Wheaties, you know, I don't know. But whatever it is, we got to do it. We've got to shake it up a little bit. Now, again, we want to do it with a little class and style, so maybe we don't use quite that vocabulary. But the point is, winning is everything when it comes to our country, it comes to our nation, when it comes to God Almighty and the fight ahead. And, you know, sometimes you got to get out in the mud a little bit, people, I think. And I think the Republicans have to still get that message. I don't know. You know, I almost don't like to even say the word Republican anymore because I prefer to say the word conservatism or conservative. The Republican Party has been so branded the grand old GOP. Again, as somebody said in the program here today, the old white staunchy male. I mean, that's how that party was branded. They branded themselves that way and the left did as well. They branded the right that way as well. Both parties were effective in doing that. And that's how they became the staunchy old party, actually, the fat ass elephant, if you will. But then again, the other party became the jackass, didn't they? So that worked out perfectly. But the point is, and it's time to take some action here. And as you hear the voices of Linda, Debbie, and Arnetta, it is a great reminder, please, to all of you. And of course, we shared some positive words today for Margaret Thatcher, and there's so many more cool people. And I got to read you this too, Eleanor Roosevelt, just love it. A woman is like a tea bag. You never know how strong she is until she gets in hot water. Whoo, boy, I'll tell you what. I knew that, and I figured I'd do that when it's just me and you talking and not with the ladies on this, who I don't catch in trouble there, right? Well, listen, we are happy to bring this to you with the voices here and so appreciated very much to Debbie Aldrich, Linda Martinelli, and Arnetta Notkin. Friends, you'll catch it all back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Most important thing is put the chips away, get off of the sofa, let's get moving there. It's time to get involved and get loud.